Psalm chapter 56, the Bible said, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words, all their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together, they hide themselves, they mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word, in the Lord will I praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" If correctly read, that's 13 verses in Psalm 56. Pray with me just a moment. Father, thank you tonight for this whole book. Thank you, God, for the truths therein. And Lord, I ask you tonight, Lord, just to open it up to our hearts and our minds. And God, I pray tonight you'd fill us, our Father, that we might speak a spirit-filled message. Then, God, I pray that you'd fill our hearing tonight, that we might have ears to hear what the Spirit of God would say to us tonight. Lord, this is a wonderful man, this man called David. Lord, he has some good days and he has a few bad days. Lord, I know that, Lord, you're the God of the mountain. You're the God of the valley. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to glean tonight. We'll need this at some point in our life. Maybe somebody tonight needs it, Lord. I pray you'll bless it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to speak to you tonight on the subject, what time I am afraid. I want to say something tonight in the onset of the message. I may have to stop and get a drink of water. That is this. The word of God said over, I believe it's in 1 John. I could look it up, but the Bible said, perfect love casteth out fear. There's a man here that we're reading after tonight whose name is David. The Bible called him a man after God's own heart. And it helps me tonight to know that a man after God's own heart could make a statement, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. I want to get into the message tonight, and I'm not sure exactly how to start, but maybe I should just introduce it by telling the setting. What's happened in the psalm is David is fleeing from Saul. Saul wants to kill David. Saul is jealous of David. You remember when the women in town started dancing and singing, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And immediately that envy, and the Bible said that jealousy is as cruel as the grave. And there were times when if Saul could have, he would have killed David. And there was times when David had opportunity to take Saul's life, and yet he said he wouldn't touch God's anointed. And God's going to honor that later in David's life. But he's in a mess. The first point in the message, I want you to notice the pickle. I use that word for the sake of alliteration, but the pickle that David found himself in. You say, preacher, what do you mean? How many knows what it means to be in a pickle? kind of like between a rock and a hard place. And David, here, he's fleeing from Saul, but where does he go? Brother Houston, he goes to Gath. That's the home of Goliath. The king there is Achish. And I don't know, it's kind of like jumping out of the fire, out of the frying pan into the fire, amen? And so that's where David's at. He's fleeing from Saul, but he's fled to Gath. He gets down to Gath, and if you read in 1 Samuel, it'll help us a little bit tonight. David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. This is 1 Samuel 21:10. Verse 11 said, "And the servants of Achish said unto him, Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his ten thousands? And David laid up these words in his heart, and the word of God said him, was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath." And this is when David changed his behavior. Do you remember the story? He acts like a wild man. He acts like he's crazy. And he's trying to save his life. And he changed his behavior before them, and he feigned himself mad in their hands and scrabbled on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beards. And then said Achish unto his servants, "Lo, you see this, the man is mad. Wherefore then have you brought him to me? Have I need of madmen that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?" So David, he finds himself in a pickle. He's between a rock and a hard place. He's trying to get away from Saul on the one hand and finds himself right in the presence of the king of Gath on the other hand. I'm going to just say something about the pickles we find ourselves in. Some of them are self-made. Help me right there and say amen. We make the situation because of things we do or don't do. We actually invite the situation. I can't get this off of my heart, and I don't know why, but there are pickles, so to speak, that we find ourselves in that we had no choice in the matter. And every time I see the commercial of St. Jude's and see those little children, Brother David, God has blessed you with healthy grandchildren and children, and me with healthy children and grandchildren. Those people, don't you know there's got to be some measure of fear in their heart and in their life? They didn't ask for that. Some of that, in other words, some of the pickles we find ourselves in life is just because we're in life and we're living in a world that's living under the curse of sin. Say amen. Some of it is because of choices that we make, but some of it is just because of where we live. And actually, David, listen to me carefully, is in this pickle because of choices that he made, but it's right choices that he made. When he went down to the battle, he said, "Is there not a cause?" He said, "What shall be done to the man that kills this Philistine?" And in other words, Israel had been standing by for 40 days, and nobody would answer the call of Goliath. And David said, "I'll go down. The same God that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, well, he'll take care of this giant." Amen. And David did right. And you'll go in the New Testament and you'll find, well, you can look at it in Jeremiah's life and Isaiah's life. You can look at it in the life of Moses. You can look at it, beloved, in the life of Paul, in the life of Silas, in the life of Peter. Many times they found themselves in a pickle because of doing the right thing, amen? And they were persecuted, so to speak. And beloved, listen, it was not for doing wrong, it was for doing right. And so tonight, what time I'm afraid? I guess just starting the message off, I wanted to give you a little bit of background of what's going on and why it's going on. Now, I know that God is God. And God could have warped old Saul upside the head and killed him. Amen? But listen, sometimes God is using our enemies not to destroy us, listen to me carefully, but to develop us. Sometimes God is using, beloved, that pickle, that situation in our family, that situation on the job, that situation with a neighbor. Help me tonight, amen, not to destroy us, but to develop us and to help us in our character. What time? I'm afraid. Even the man after God's own heart. Robert Louis Stevenson said this. He said, keep your fears to yourself and share your courage with others. Well, I just have to disagree with that. And I just want to stand and say, I thank God that David shared his fears with us. Because if a man after God's own heart can get himself in a place where he's uncertain about some things, say amen, and has to say, what time I'm afraid, then it's all right, beloved, if we find ourselves in that place at times in our life. And I'll just say this. The Bible said, perfect love casteth out fear. Let me just say this tonight. I'm not going to speak for you. I'm just going to speak for me. My love's not always perfect. Help me tonight, amen. You say, I'm going to tell you something tonight. You say, preacher, how do you know when your love's not always perfect? When I got my eyes on the situation instead of the Savior. When I got my eyes on my surroundings instead of the Savior. Where are my eyes supposed to be? Where's my heart supposed to be focused? Amen. And so that brings about a fear. Amen. And I believe that even as, I can't remember if it come up in Sunday school, maybe Sunday morning, but you take those, that young man that Jesus healed his blindness, and his mom and dad wouldn't confess Jesus for fear of being thrown out of the synagogue. Amen? And beloved, listen, there are fears at times. I read this story and I thought it went well with this. One summer night during a severe thunderstorm, a mother was tucking her small son into bed. She was about to turn the light off when he asked in a trembling voice, Mommy, will you stay with me all night? Smiling, the mother gave him a warm, reassuring hug and said tenderly, I can't, dear. I have to sleep in Daddy's room. A long silence followed. At last, it was broken by the little boy's shaky voice saying, the big sissy. You say, preacher, why'd you say that? Because I guess, Brother D, there's times when I'm a big sissy. There's times when that fear will come into my heart. David said, what time I'm afraid. I don't believe it was the majority of the time in David's life. I mean, you're talking about a man that could take on a bear and take on a lion and take on a giant. Amen. I don't believe it was the majority of the time, and I don't believe it is in my life, but there are times when I'm afraid. There will come things in your life, beloved, that you can't handle, that you can't fix. There'll come situations in our families. Though we would love to fix them, we can't fix them. There'll come situations in our health that we can't fix. And there'll be times when we find ourselves afraid. Matthew Henry said this. He said, God's persecuted people have often found better usage from the Philistines than from the Israelites, in the Gentile theaters than in the Jewish synagogues. He said, the king of Judah imprisoned Jeremiah, and the king of Babylon let him go. In other words, beloved, sometimes we find our relief from an unexpected source. David was looking to no one but God for his relief. So we notice, first of all, in the message tonight, the pickle that David found himself in. But this, I want you to notice, secondly, tonight in the psalm, the person that he would trust to bring him through. The person that he would trust to bring him through. Sometimes the Lord is the last place that we turn when he ought to be the first place that we turn. Have you ever heard someone say something like this? Well, all we can do is pray. That's probably what we should have done to start with. That shouldn't have been the last thing, amen. It ought to have been the first thing. We ought to turn to the Lord. Let's look tonight at some of these things here in these verses. First of all, in verse number 1, he says, be merciful unto me. What's the next two words? Oh God. That's the person right there. The person that he would trust to bring him through. If you notice, if you want to know why he's in a pickle, he look in verse number 1. He said, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me. If you look down at verse number 5 and verse number 6, every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are evil, are against me for evil. In verse number 6, they gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. David knew that he had an enemy and that he was surrounded. But he knew there was one that was bigger than the enemy. He knew there was one that he could trust. The person that he would trust would be the Lord. Be merciful unto me, O God. If you look at the last part of verse number 2, he said, O thou most high. And in the last part of verse number 3, I will trust in thee. And then in the middle of verse number 4, in God I have put my trust. I believe that there's a person, and his name is Jesus, that we can lean on. The songwriter said, leaning on the everlasting arms. Another songwriter said, learning to lean. I believe if God lets me live 20 more years, I'll still be learning to lean. Learning to lean on Jesus. I don't believe it's anything that we ever get really perfected, but I'll tell you this right now, it'll take away the fear when we lean on the everlasting arms, when we lean on him. What time I'm afraid, there's the pickle he found himself in. There's the person that he would trust to bring him through. Now I want you to notice the power that is available when we get a hold of God. This is a wonderful thing here. If you look at verse number 7, it says, shall they escape by iniquity? He said, in thine anger cast down the people, O God. Now watch this. There's power over the people. They would do us harm, the word of God said here. That would do God's people harm. In the middle of my verse number 9, the Bible said, then shall mine enemies turn back. I believe there's power. Listen, sometimes if we're not careful, all we can see is the enemy. All we can hear is the enemy. But we have to look beyond the enemy. And the Bible is going to tell us here in a minute, there's power that is available when we get a hold of God. There's power over the people, but there's power through prayer. In verse number 8, David said, thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Maybe I'm the only one in the room, but I do believe this. I believe some of the best praying we ever do is when we can't even get a word out. I believe when our heart is broken and the tears are dripping on the floor and the Spirit of God comes alongside of us and makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. I took Elizabeth, my baby, and her two babies to the doctor Monday. And the one that's 20 months old now, Amelia, she's a mess. But anyway, Amelia had to get 2 shots. So you know what I did? I told my daughter, I'm taking the baby to the car. I said, I don't want Amelia to equate that pain with Papaw. She can equate it with her mommy. I'm getting out of here, Brother Houston. I don't want her to think Papa had anything to do with that. Amen. But she took the first shot and didn't even cry. And the second shot just cried just a little bit, she said. Said she did real, real good. Thank the Lord for that. I could have stayed, but I didn't know. I took the baby to the car, and before I even got the baby to the car, she was squalling, wanting a bottle. Last time I took them to the doctor, Brother David, she was squalling. I got the bottle out and finally got it warmed up, and she gulped on it so hard that she lost her breath. And I'm thinking, this baby's going to turn blue, and I'm going to have to run in there and get help. I'm telling you, I'm a little bit out of practice. Say amen. Scared me to death. But I'm going to tell you what would scare me worse. If something would happen that'd be out of my control. Something would happen. It would hurt. But God said, He has power over the enemy. We find power through prayer. But then in the verses here, we found power through His promise. Watch what verse number 9 said. He said, when I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. What's the next three words say? Can I tell you everything that you find in this book right here, you can say this. I know. There's a lot I don't know. But when I read a verse that says, if God be for us, who can be against us? This I know. When I read, there's a lot I don't know, Brother Rose, but when I read a verse that says, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, this I know. When I read a verse that says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that'll be revealed in us, this I know. When I read a verse that says, and it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment, this, I know. Sometimes the only peace I can find is realizing before we ever came into the world, God knew we had an appointment when we'd be checking out of the world. I don't believe that this church was looking for Brother Jack to go home. And I don't believe he was either. But he had an appointment. Brother Mitchell has an appointment. Brother Ralph, you have an appointment. I hope we can both go on the big load, brother. And Brother Ralph, you're older than I am, but I may go before you do. If I do, just realize I have an appointment. You say, well, preacher, what are you trying to say? This I know. I know this. That'll help you, amen? There, you want to know why a lot of people are bitter against God? Because this they don't know. Help me tonight. They're angry. Family members won't speak to each other. There's power over the people. There's power through prayer, but there's power through His promise. He said here, for this I know, and then the last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 words say, for God is for me. God's for me. God's not against me. And I think, Brother Jim, you all sang that song Sunday. I can't remember exactly how it goes, but whatever comes into our life has got to pass through His hand. This I know. I've read the book of Job. The devil didn't like Job. The devil hated Job. And the devil said, you just let me at him a little while and he'll cuss you to your face. That goes to show you what the devil knows. Amen. Old Job said, the Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Oh, verse just came to me. Job said this, Brother Rose, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. That's a gooder, ain't it? Amen. So there's power through promise. The Bible said, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. This I know. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. This I know. There's a lot I don't know, but I sure can rejoice in the things that I do know. I know him tonight. The last thing in the message tonight, I hope it's helped you a little bit. It's helped me. God only knows what we'll face before we get out of here. I was talking to someone a while ago about the news. I said, I ain't even going to watch it. Fight, fight, argue and fight. It'd be nice to get paid that much money to do nothing. The last thing I want you to see, what time I'm afraid. We noticed the pickle that David found himself in. We noticed the person that he would trust to bring him through. Notice the power that's available when we get a hold of God. But I want you to notice the praise that welled up in David's heart. If you look in verse number 10, he says, in God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God I put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me. In verse number 4, he said, in God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. I just want to say this tonight, and we'll go on here just for a few minutes. In times of fear, it's really not what we've promised God that really matters. I'm not saying it doesn't matter, but that's not what you're going to get through a time of fear in. It's not what we've promised God, but rather call what he's promised us. You see, the Bible said that if you and I are faithful, that's a wonderful thing, and we should be faithful. But I'll tell you something right now, he abideth faithful. He can't be anything but faithful. He's there. How we ought to praise him, how it ought to well up in our hearts. In God will I praise his word. He said, thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. Now, David is not in an easy spot in this chapter. It's kind of a hard spot. But he's still has a heart that's welled up with praise for God. I thought about something when I was reading this chapter and thinking about the trials of life and different things we go through. Listen to me carefully. My worst day, being a child of God, beats the best day in hell. Think about that for just a moment. Folks used to ask my daddy, they'd say, how you doing, John? My dad would always say, better than I deserve. Many, many people would ask daddy, say, what do you mean? And daddy'd say, well, if I had what I deserved, he said, I'd be burning in hell. He'd say, but Jesus took my place on an old rugged cross. And I'll never burn. I'll never burn. in that awful place called hell. There's a praise that's welled up. The Bible said here, if you look at verse 13, said, thou hast delivered my soul from death. Now watch this now. Listen to me carefully. Here's what happens when we fear sometimes. We're saying, God, I've put my soul in your hands, and I have absolute peace that it's safe in your hands. But how many's ever found it difficult to put the situation you're in his hands? Am I right or am I wrong? The Bible said, cast your burden on the Lord. Cast all your care on the Lord. And we kind of do it like with the fishing pole. You know what I mean? We cast. How many's with me tonight? You're right, Brother Larry. We reel it right back in. That's not what the Bible's talking about when it says cast. What's the songwriter say, Brother Ralph? Take it to the Lord and leave it there. I'm telling you tonight, I'm preaching to the choir, but that ain't always easy. Two of the godliest people I know, Sister Gwen or Brother Long and his sweet wife, your sister. I guarantee if you set them down and talk to them, they could say, what time I'm afraid, I'll trust in thee. Because they're godly doesn't mean there's not times when you just don't know what to do or which way to turn. Thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling? That I may walk before God in the light of the living. I'll give you this tonight in closing. Praise his word. His word assures us that he knows what we need. His word assures us that our suffering now is not to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed in us. His word assures us that all things are working together for good. His word assures us that our worst day here is better than what we truly deserve. His word assures us of something else. How many of y'all used to get aggravated on the job? Something just absolutely wouldn't go right. How many knows what I'm talking about? Anybody ever do that? You know what began to help me with that, not to get so aggravated? Just a simple thought. This time next week, one way or the other, this ain't going to matter. Usually it don't even take a week. You understand what I mean? I mean, Dad and I were in business together, and we didn't know how to do a lot of things. We learned everything the hard way. I can remember hanging sheetrock in a Methodist church. I won't tell you what was in the refrigerator when Daddy told me to get us something to drink. There was plenty to drink. There wasn't a Coke or a bottle of water anywhere. Nothing that we could drink. Hung sheetrock. Number one, sheetrock overhead should always be hung on 16-inch centers. We didn't know that. Number two, sheetrock overhead should be at a minimum a half inch thick. And we didn't know that. I mean, country boys got it figured out. 3/8 sheetrock is lighter than half inch sheetrock. Therefore, much easier to put up over your head. And then 3/8 sheetrock is to never be stippled. That's where you just, like this is spray on stuff here, but you just put the mud on it and you just take a brush. And when we got done, it looked great. When we came in the next morning, it went like this. In between every strip, there was a belly. See, all that mud on that sheetrock wet it, Brother Rose, and just allowed it to sag between the strips. I can remember another time How many of y'all know what architectural shingles are? Well, they're to be installed differently than the old 15-year shingle. We didn't know. And we didn't take the time to read the package either. So we put these shingles on this guy's house. He goes down there to the builder's supply and he says, you know what? Those shingles on my house just don't look like they do in that display. So they come out there and they said, that's because they're not installed correctly. I'm telling you about some times when I just didn't know what I was going to do. After that, I got a little bit wiser when I didn't know what to do. I'd get me a 5-gallon bucket. I'd go over and sit in a corner. I can hear Daddy when I close my eyes saying, son, do something if it is wrong. And I can hear me saying to Daddy, yeah, and it'll take us a week to fix it. In other words, let's figure out what we're doing before we start on it. But a week later, it didn't matter. You say, what happened with the shingles? Well, we had two options. We could either go buy them, take those off, go buy them, put them back on. The man jumped in and he said, I tell you what, they said it's not going to leak. He said, just let me pay for the shingles. And so we put the shingles on for free. We didn't make any. Oh, that was better, Brother Wayne, than going back and doing it over again. We were tickled. We were tickled with our pickle. Amen. Amen. I didn't even know the Lord at that time. It ought to be different now that I know him. Say amen. Researchers at Johns Hopkins, and I'm done. Listen to this carefully. Tell you about how to pray for our young people. Researchers at Johns Hopkins University reported that 30 years ago, the greatest fear of grade school children were animals, being in a dark room, high places, strangers, and loud noises. Today's kids are afraid of the following: divorce, nuclear war, cancer, pollution, and being mugged. World's changed a lot in 30 years, ain't it? If we live another 30 years, and Jesus don't come, it'll change a lot more, I'm afraid. I mean, 30 years ago, you wouldn't have made me believe that same-sex marriage will be accepted in America. You wouldn't have made me believe that. No way you'd have made me believe that. You'd have never made me believe that there'd be states voting to legalize marijuana. You just wouldn't have made me believe that. I would have never dreamed that. You would have never made me believe that there'd be a gang running around in America that delights in cutting people's heads off. You'd have never made me believe that we'd be arguing in church settings over whether repentance is necessary for salvation. I'm not going to argue. I'm just going with Jesus. Ain't you, Brother Rose? Amen. I'm not going to argue about it. Jesus said, except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. If I didn't have another verse, that's good enough for me. Paul said repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of. It had never made me believe. Listen, I'm talking about many, many churches that used to preach this old King James Bible have given it up. You'd have never made me believe 30 years ago that the music in some churches would sound like a rock concert. You'd have never made me believe that 30 years ago. Amen. It's changing. Thank God for a book that don't change. Forever settled. Thank God for a Savior that don't change. He said, I'm the Lord, I change not. Amen. I'm just glad you come tonight. What time, I'm afraid. It could be tonight. that you find it difficult even to relate to this message. But I promise you this, one phone call can change all that. One intersection, Brother Steve, can change all that. One doctor visit can change all that. Amen. Aren't you glad we can trust Him? At all times, He's trustworthy. Anybody got a word on your heart tonight?